broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Kesha and Paris Hilton returned with new music. Announcements come out of D23. We dish what Emmy nominations caught our attention. And Gwyneth Paltrow goes head-to-head with an OBGYN over vaginal eggs. That and more madness with Marie Garofalo. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from my good friend, returning co-host, and pop culture aficionado, Marie Garofalo.
Hello.
Hey.
It's great to be back.
I know, right? Even on a lot of these, I think you were in this like two or three in the beginning.
Yep.
So you're the one of the longest running ones over here. Long-term friend of mine. We were saying when you came in to the studio that, you know, I think you might be my longest running friend in LA.
Wow. I mean, that is an honor.
Yes. It's so great to catch up with you. We see each other only a couple times a year because we live far, but it's what, like 40 minutes, 50 minutes?
Yeah,
but to us, that's far.
Well, for LA, you know, anything within, you know, or not within walking distance, it's like, oh, well, I'll see you never.
Yeah. We have to like meet each other like in general areas.
Exactly.
Yes. So it's good to have you on. There's so much to talk about in this episode of Grant's Rants. But first, I want to give a shout out to the Patreon subscribers that I have over on patreon.com/Grant's Rants. I appreciate anyone who listens to the show and supports it. But if you're going to go on Patreon and support me there, I double appreciate it because that really means a lot to me. And it keeps me going with the show. I've been able to upgrade my microphones, which has been wonderful, and enhance the quality and audio quality of the show. So I thank you all who are checking this out. There's new content up on Patreon. If you want to support the show, it's like $2 a month. So it's really cheap and it's nice to have people that go out of their way to do it. So I want to give a shout out to one of the Patreon subscribers. I'm going to shout out random supporters. There's so many of you, even on Twitter, and all of you are important to me. So I'm going to spotlight someone each show from now on, I think. Why not? We'll try it out. So Tara J over on Patreon, thank you for supporting Grant's Rants. Let's talk about Kesha and the two new songs that have come out.
Let's talk about her.
What our thoughts are. First of all, let me say I'm happy for her that she is back producing music and she has overcome a lot and had to go through the ringer to get new music released.
Yep, that's very true.
So she's got two new songs out, Praying and Woman, and she's got this new album, Rainbow, coming out on August 11th. Marie, what did you think when you heard these songs? Praying, I turned on and I couldn't get through it.
Okay, so I will say this. Of the two songs, I preferred Praying. Right when the song started, she was talking. It kind of had this like Beyonce Lemonade kind of feel, don't get me started on that. I don't particularly care for it. I know people lost their mind for Lemonade. I don't get it.
I missed that entirely.
I just don't understand
I like Beyonce,
it at all.
But I don't live for her.
Correct. You know? Yeah. But a lot of like the talking and like very dramatic. Here's what's happened in my life. And I'm just going to talk like this.
Life
and
I is just, I, ethereal.
Yeah. So at the like, beginning of the Kesha song, I saw that. So then I saw like the video was 5 minutes long. I'm like, oh, this is long. So I was like scrolling down to the comments and someone said like, oh my gosh, that high note at the end. So I was like, what high note? So then of course I had to listen to the whole song. I actually thought the song was very pretty. You know, at certain points it was like, is she singing or screaming? I couldn't really tell. But then she does hit this high note at the very end. It sounded pretty legit, but like Kesha seems to be a little more manufactured. So I was kind of like, was this real? You know, which is unfortunate that like that's where my mind goes. But I did think overall it is a very pretty song. And I know she's been through a lot and all the stuff with Dr. Luke and everything. So, I mean, I hope that she's doing better and I hope that she has more success because there are some songs that I really do like, you know, of hers.
Well, here are my thoughts.
Okay.
I Praying, I couldn't get there. Actually, it was my sister and we tried it twice. We were like, we're not listening to this.
Yeah,
like, it just wasn't our style song. But it was also a huge departure of all the party ballads that she had.
Yes.
And I get that she's having this, like, the beginning and she's back and she's, you know, in a new direction and all that, which is fine. But it was like a big left turn from her previous music that she's put out, which was a lot of fun. And this was, like, deeply personal.
Yeah.
Message. And like you said, like, you know, it was what's the word that she said for the show? It was a personal ballad, but you're like, okay, whatever. But to start with the ballad is kind of not expected when you're Kesha,
right?
And then this song, Woman, you know, it's all right, but I'm not adding it to my video playlist.
No.
And it's supposed to be about empowerment, but all it is about F-bombs. That's all that it is.
So that's the thing. I'm like, will this song ever be able to be played on the radio?
Why? I don't get why people do that. Like with this show, I have to edit out every expletive because it has to go up as clean because it limits the audience by like 70%.
That's crazy.
So don't you want the most amount of people to hear your resurgence and your return to music?
Because that also like drives me crazy when you're listening to a song and then like a whole section of the song is just like blank out. So what are they going to be like? I'm a woman. Yeah. I'm like, I don't understand.
They're probably going to cheapen it and they're probably going to have her double it. I'm a woman.
That's yeah, or something like that. Exactly. Yeah. But it's just because that word, that particular expletive is like in every chorus, almost like every other line of the song. So yeah, I don't really know the basis behind that. Right. I mean, it's a good like anthem, I think, which is what she was going for. I appreciated it. And the music video's fun and everything. But
the music video to me was very cheap. But I liked the music video for Praying because I like that mountain that's in the Salton Sea area.
Yeah.
It's really neat. It's this man who's no longer here. I actually know all about this. I can't think of the name of it. But it's in the Salton Sea area. And he was very devout religious. And he lived out of a trailer. And it was a very poor community. But he built this mountain out of like paper and plastic, and he painted it, and that was his lifelong mission.
Wow.
He would just keep building this mountain. It was all religious and it's all colorful, and a lot of people in the community have maintained it. So that's why she shot the video. That was about the only thing I enjoyed.
Yeah.
But
it will be interesting to see if either song like really takes off, because I haven't heard like anything really on the radio yet or anything. So
no, that's the thing. I don't think that ballad is going to get radio play. I just don't. I don't know. Maybe I'm like totally wrong, but I just feel like the radio now is so streamlined. It's 8 songs, and whoever pays for those songs to be on the radio.
It is all the same songs. I can tell you so. I know we'll talk more about it later, but I got a new job, and my commute is much longer. And in the morning, I switch between like 3 radio stations. Yep. It is the same songs on repeat. It's just all the same songs on any given station.
It's dead.
Although I can never get enough of Despacito. So if we have to listen to any song, I mean, let it be that one. But
there you go.
Yeah.
So her album is being released under Dr. Luke's label. And this is why Kesha was away for so long. As many people know that she had accused him of sexual assault. She couldn't get out of the contract with him and Sony. So they purposefully like forced her not to put out music. And she couldn't even perform her own music that she wrote herself. So they really kind of paralyzed her as an artist. So now this is her return, but she's still not completely free of him.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But it wasn't what I expected, but I knew that it wasn't going to be the same like party chick. But we'll see what the album has.
I know. Maybe eventually there'll be more TikTok.
Yeah.
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 And I think Die Young. That was a great
need some
one.
Fun stuff. Yeah. It's a serious time worldwide. I think people need some entertainment.
I agree.
Loose, you know.
Yeah, I think so too.
I get her having to address, and as she should, that was very personal and what happened to her. It would be odd if she didn't express that, especially as an artist, what she went through.
Yep.
But let's have some good times.
Yes.
That's what people expect from Key Dolla Sign. Even though it's no longer the dollar sign, but come on. Let's talk about Paris Hilton having a resurgence, perhaps, kind of on the same line as this one. I just want to say that she's in this Demi Lovato video. The video isn't out as of the time we're recording the show, but she and Demi Lovato look amazing.
Yeah.
And I've never seen Demi Lovato look so sexy.
Okay, I saw Demi Lovato in concert last fall. Good Lord, her in those leotards with those thighs and that butt. I'm telling you, she... Yeah. Woo, yeah, I mean, she looked good.
Yeah.
Real good. Yeah, and I mean, she really does have a great voice. I actually really like her.
Yeah.
I could do without that lion tattoo on her hand, but because, you know, that is forever. Yeah. I think sometimes oh, these silly girls, they forget. I'm like, that lion is going to be on your hand for the rest of your life, girl. But anyway, like, I mean, she really is a fantastic singer. And every time I keep seeing her post pictures, I'm like, gosh, she just looks better and better.
So Teen Vogue put out an article and it said, dance like it's 2006. I'm like, is that shade or what? Like, I was okay with it. It was a well-done article.
Yeah.
And so Paris has a new song and a new fragrance, of course.
Of course.
Coming out. And the new song is Summer Rain. So, you know, some podcasts, they have in-studio artists that will perform. They'll look at Grammy nominations. We at Grants France are exclusively going to be listening party to a sample of Summer Rain. Okay, so it sounds to me like a spin class.
Yes.
You know, where it picks up, which I'm not mad at. It's a little bit of a throwback to electronic music.
It does, yeah. It feels like something that we would have been dancing to at prom in the mid-2000s. Yes, yes. Yes.
I think, however, she is embracing that as her era. Like the Juicy Couture, like that whole time period.
Totally, totally. Who doesn't love a good Von Dutch hat?
Yes, that whole like 06, like pinnacle Paris, like that. I think that's what she's embracing.
Exactly, I agree. Brand.
And that's okay. I mean, that is celebrated here at Grants France. I mean, how many times are we still talking about Lindsay on this show? But if for those of you who love, God, my anthem, I mean, you know, the best one, Stars Are Blind. For those of you who love Stars Are Blind, the song is going to be remixed to a 2017 beat.
Wow.
So you can look out for that this summer. But, you know, Paris, if you're coming with the summer rain, I mean, it's mid-July. I mean, hurry up. I mean,
she's got to release it.
She has to, especially if she wants it to be some type of summer anthem. I mean, it's almost too late.
Yeah, kids in California are back in school like the second week in August.
Ugh. Yeah.
Summer's done.
What would you say is the summer anthem? Malibu?
Despacito. Malibu.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, I would say a summer anthem is like the song that's on every radio station that every single person knows. Mm-hmm. Malibu's good, but I think in terms of like an actual jam, like a summer jam. I would say Despacito. I was in Florida recently and, you know, like Miami, South Beach, and that was the song.
Yeah. Well, a second album is on the way. And what do we want to predict? What is the performance going to be on this album? I mean, you know, sales-wise. I mean, what do you really think is going to happen?
I don't think it's going to be that great because...
Internationally.
It's really funny. It's really funny. Like, Paris Hilton was such a phenomenon. And I love when they show those old clips of her and Kim Kardashian with her former face.
Mm-hmm.
Her face is... Like, it has changed 180 degrees. It's crazy.
Someone else was with the name Kim Kardashian in the room.
It's so crazy to see the before and after. But anyway, like when they were together and just to know, like, gosh, Paris Hilton was so popular. And now I feel like I haven't really heard anything about her. I know Nikki Hilton got married a couple years ago and Paris like kind of did a little mini resurgence then. But honestly, like I haven't even thought of her in years. So I just don't think that it's going to do that well.
Yeah. Well, Paris and I feel like we're kindred spirits because we both equally hate The View. She will not do it. She blackballed The View and she hates Barbara Walters because Barbara had her come on The View to promote her projects. And then she asked her all types of personal questions. And so she like was really upset and she said she would never effing go back to that. And I was like, well, good for you.
Yeah.
So I'm there with you, Paris. I wouldn't have done the show to begin with. So we have that in common. So I don't know. I'm getting ready, though, now to give my rant of the day.
Okay. I'm ready.
Grant, rant of the day.
My rant of the day has to go to her latest boyfriend, Chris somebody, Zilka, which they already changed by the time we were doing the rant.
Totally.
It's somebody else.
But don't get invested.
No. So he tattooed Paris on his forearm in thick Disney font.
Yeah. Okay. So that was what was so funny. Not just her name, but in like Disney font.
Bold.
Bold. I guess maybe so if it doesn't work out between them, then he can just be like, oh, this was for Disneyland Paris. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But it is insane.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, what an idiot. I mean, doesn't he know her track record? You know, she's 36. I thought she was 32, but she isn't. The boyfriend's 32.
Okay.
So he's still, I guess, an idiot at that age. But for 36, I mean, you know, people fall into patterns at a certain point in their life, and she's in it. I like her, but she's not someone that's going to settle down, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Why would you get a permanent?
Did she have like a long-term boyfriend, or who was she like really with 10 years ago? It was more just that she was this like crazy party girl.
Yeah, she
kind
bounced
of
around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this boyfriend is only of several months. They mm-hmm. were steady as of February. She had a previous boyfriend that they broke up like in March. So this, I don't know what the overlap was, because this one's saying February.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the overlap was none. It was like probably like the next week.
Yeah.
So February is a short month.
She's Paris Hilton. She's going to do what she's got to do.
So this boy, latest boyfriend, he's an actor on The Leftovers. I don't watch that show.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not. Well, I've heard of it, but
I think that it's ridiculous. I'm not a tattoo person. I just have no interest. There's nothing in my life that I would want permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't do it.
Maybe just a lion on your hand.
Yes, I think that would age really well. I have no interest in that. So to me, you know, if you're going to do that with someone else's name, we all know what that's going to do. That's like getting a, that's like renewing your vows on a reality show.
exactly.
It's not going to last, kids.
Yep. Yep.
Mm. Gwyneth Paltrow. So we don't talk much about the show except when it's the holiday season when we give out gifts from the Goop gift guide.
Oh, yes.
The holiday show. And I enjoy me some Goop. That website is like such a joke and I love it. I mean, the overpriced items are so ridiculous.
So ridiculous, yes.
So I look forward to it every year and you can bet that, God willing, when this holiday season, we'll be back to visit Goop and we'll consult. And her team is all over it, all over social media. In fact, they liked the podcast that I talked about. They didn't listen to it, but they liked it on Twitter. They're really like in touch with who's talking about their products. It must be a very small team, but they're getting a lot of attention now for this article or a statement that they released. And basically Vanity Fair covered it. They said, this is the title of the article, Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop Issues, a Rare Response to a Critic. So I love the Goop gift guides. I'm there for the lifestyle brand. I think she knows it's ridiculous. It's so stupid. But people are eating it up. And it's been like 9 years.
People love it. Yeah.
So good for her. So it always created a conversation, but now this time, a OBGYN, Jean Gunter, reached out as a critic of the site. She's, I guess, criticized a lot of items on social media, but she published a blog post criticizing the $66 vaginal jade eggs.
Yes.
So what do you do with these eggs? They say that they tone the pelvic floor.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So I had heard of these eggs a few months ago and referred to as yoni eggs.
Okay, yeah.
Which is kind of like the other term for them.
They were on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes. And basically, yeah, you insert one for like the whole day.
Oh, the whole day.
Yes. And it's supposed to help with like your sexual like nature and desires and abilities and yeah, and to kind of tighten things up, because when it's in there, then you have to kind of put in the work to make sure it stays in there.
What is the difference between that and Kegels?
Well, I'm doing mine right now, actually.
Oh. That is a first.
Grant's Rants exclusive.
So that is just like you kind of just tighten the muscle.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a little exercise. It's Kegels is just like the exercise to kind of keep, you know, cinched up, if you will.
Okay. This is like an insertion, correct. A jade ball, according to the website, correct. The non-returnable, very good.
Well, I mean, obviously, I don't think they'd want them returned, but yeah, you're supposed to kind of insert it for the day, and it's supposed to kind of help you in all areas of maintenance down there. But apparently this OBGYN is saying like that is not a good idea, and it's really not good to keep anything inserted.
I would assume not. It's not natural to have a stone.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I can't say I've ever tried one, but to me it would seem like it wouldn't be very comfortable, although maybe once it's in, like, you don't really feel it. I don't know, but
I can't imagine myself.
Maybe you can have like a future podcast episode and get different women to like walk around Hollywood with it in and a day in the life, and then see, they'll report back and let you know how it went.
That's a whole new type of Grant's Rants Hollywood talk.
Yeah. I'll just stick to the Kegels though.
Yeah. So she said the only, to your point, she said the only thing your post got right is to check with your doctor before using one. So let me give you some free advice. Don't use vaginal jade eggs. So, you know, this is the whole thing. Oscar winner Gwyneth, I'm sure, has heard a lot of criticism against a lot of stuff.
I'm sure.
So for whatever, they're questioning why she replied to this. She put out a statement in a Twitter blog post, and she said, when they go low, we go high. And she posted the thing.
Yeah.
And people are reading it, and she's, you know, so she released the statement. I mean, let's see what she has to say. She said, as Goop, I think this is a little shady. Let's see what she has to say. As Goop has grown, so has the attention we receive. All right. We consistently find ourselves to be the interest of many, and for that we are grateful. But we also find that there are third parties who critique Goop to leverage that internet and bring attention to themselves. Me. I always am goofing every Christmas. So that's about right. And then she says, San Francisco-based OBGYN blogger has been taking advantage of the attention and issuing attacks to build her personal platform, ridiculing the women who might read our site in the process. I mean, I don't know if she's ridiculing anyone. I think she's just saying, look, I'm sure she's getting attention from it, but don't use them. She's an OBGYN. She's not me telling women not to use them.
I'm good. Like, I don't think I'll use one. So I would probably side with the OB in this.
Goop has CYA'd, and they've ended the blog with two letters from doctors. So encouraging women or letting them know it's okay. So.
Wow.
Gwyneth, I don't know.
Yeah.
What a fool, but I like it.
Yeah, I know. If she's around and like wants to hang out, then I would still consider it, but yeah.
For sure. It's funny that the same weekend that we're recording the show, D23 is happening in Anaheim, California, not far from here. And you actually have talked about your experience at D23 on Grants Rants previously.
Yes, I have.
So when you were an employee, now Marie is no longer affiliated with the Walt Disney Company, so we can really dish.
Yeah, so I worked at the expo. So it started in 2009, and it's every other summer in Anaheim. So I worked at the expo in 2011, 13, and 15, so which was great. And I got to see, you know, three versions and kind of how the expo has evolved. I mean, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, a la a Comic-Con type of event. And yeah, so I wasn't there this year. Of course, I know lots of people who are there who are working the event. So I've seen tons of posts and information. But yeah, I mean, it looks like it's a fantastic event this year. And, you know, I give people credit who go to like see and sit in the auditoriums with those events, because they like camp out overnight to see those sessions. So I kind of will just wait until, you know, Grant sends me a link on my phone and then I'll just read the recap. But yeah, I mean, those are super fans who are very, very, very dedicated to the brand. And it's really amazing to see every time the expo is happening.
So for those who don't know, it's for the Disney companies who really announce their projects for the next 2 years and give dates for movies and, you know, break news on casting of films and the direction of the company. So I looked it over. There was a great article on E! That listed a lot of the highlights. Yes. And a couple of things stood out to me. First of all, I can't believe how many sequels or additional in the franchise. Movies. I think there was like one that stood out to me called this movie called Coco that I had not been aware of.
Coco's coming out in the fall.
And then there was a bunch of other stuff that was like, you know, sequels or part of a trilogy or, I mean, here just the majority of them were, I wrote them down. These are all having like second parts or more. Descendants, Frozen, Mary Poppins, Avengers, Star Wars, of course, Wreck-It Ralph. This was the majority of the films that were listed in this article over on E! And I was like, wow, there's like one common thing. All these are like more than the original. Yeah. You know?
And then a lot of like live action movies.
Yes.
Like The Lion King, Mulan.
I mean, how are they going to do Lion King live action though?
Good question. I am not really sure. I'll be curious to see like if it's more Broadway-esque or if it's more like Jungle Book-esque.
Right.
Like, is Simba going to be like a boy dressed as a lion or a lion, which is voiceover?
Right.
I don't know.
That's going to be interesting.
Now as an outsider, I'll just have to wait like the rest of you and find out later.
So Dumbo is coming back to live action. Mulan. And I'm like, oh, they just made Mulan. And I'm like, not really.
Nope.
It's been like 20
years. That was like Christina Aguilera's first, right? She did Reflection.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like her very first song, even like before Genie in a Bottle. So
it had to be like 19 years.
Yeah. I would say like 98 probably.
Oh, wow.
I know. Yeah. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, what are they going to do next after all the live action? I mean, at some point we have to come back to an original concept and idea.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
I mean, there have been a lot of originals lately that have been really fun and good, like Zootopia and Inside Out. And,
right.
You know, and so I feel like nowadays it's like so hard to come up with an original concept.
Clearly,
and there's
so many
movies that people just love and like are so beloved that I feel like they kind of, it's tried and true,
right.
And they know like the live action Beauty and the Beast was beautiful.
See, that's an appeal. I planned to watch it, and then when it came out, I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah,
it was
very
like
well done. I mean, it was, you know, they added some new like original songs that weren't in the animated movie,
that's cool.
But it really did stick to the story, and it was beautifully shot and everything. And so, I mean, there's nothing like a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was really pretty and so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. The only thing that stood out to me really that was announced as of the time of recording this show was the Mary Poppins Returns movie they had just showed some footage.
Yeah.
And don't wait for that one though. That's not coming out till December 25th, 2018. So,
yes.
I mean, don't wait by the door.
Well, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda is very busy, so I guess they have to work around his schedule.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I think it will be.
Frozen 2 is coming in 2019, which I could take a leap. And then there was this movie, Wrinkle in Time, and I was like, what is this? I mean, you've got Mindy Kaling and Oprah and Reese all attached to this project.
Yeah.
So I did some digging, and it's a sci-fi movie that doesn't really appeal to me.
Yeah, did you read that book in middle school?
I doubt it.
Yeah, we had to read that book.
Really?
So, and I remember it being like really good and really popular. I couldn't really tell you specifics, but as soon as they mentioned the name of it, I was like, oh yeah, A Wrinkle in Time. I mean, those names, it's going to be huge just
it's gonna
because
be
of
huge.
The star power and everything. So they know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's original in its own sense because it's like they're really putting, you can tell they're putting everything behind it.
Yeah.
And then Star Wars Land had a large scale model for their various parks that came out, which seems to be, from my perspective, is kind of polarizing to Disney people. People either are like all about, you've got your Star Wars fans who are so into it, and then you've got your diehard Disney kids who just aren't interested in having it.
Yeah, so I think it'll be so interesting when Star Wars Land opens. I mean, the parks are already so crowded, and I can't even imagine like what it is going to become. But, you know, they're doing a lot of renovations and trying to, you know, develop new concepts and new things. Like at Walt Disney World in Florida, they just opened Avatar Land in Animal Kingdom, based on the James Cameron movie. Yeah. So there's now an Avatar world over there.
That couldn't appeal to me less than all those blue people walking around. I've never been to Animal Kingdom. I would like to go, but I'm not going just for that.
Right.
I would see it, obviously. I'm not going to be like a Scrooge and be like, I don't like Avatar. I'm not going to go there. But it's not bringing me back.
Exactly. And then like Tower of Terror just got reimagined to Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. And now, Star Wars Land. And so, you know, at Disney World, they have so much land there in Florida. They could just expand forever and they'll never run out of land. But at Disneyland, you know, they're completely enclosed by freeways and houses and everything and other infrastructure. So like they had to actually get rid of certain things in the Disneyland park to now build Star Wars Land. So that is very interesting, like depending on what they have planned for the future. Like what else are they going to get rid of, you know?
True. Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see. I mean, of course, I'll want to see it when it's done and I'm curious, but I would definitely wait a little bit because I can't even imagine how crowded it's going to be.
I have my sister and her friends are coming to visit, and I was like, we're not even gonna bother with Disney because there's just not a good time to go. We'll go and everything's open and everything's fresh because we've done it.
Yeah,
we've all done it. So it's like, all right, we gotta wait for something
they
new.
Say like September's a good time to go because then all the kids are back in school.
Yeah,
and there's certain times of the year, obviously avoid the holidays for sure and spring break time. But it was funny. I did also read an article recently in the LA Times, and my boyfriend and I were discussing it a lot because we have noticed, like, over the years when I was an employee and we went to the parks quite often, it did seem to get busier and busier and the lines longer and longer. And I think it just really is like the appeal is huge. And even though with like rising ticket prices and everything, people still want to go.
Yeah.
So they're kind of working on that. So that article was very, very interesting and just learning about the increase in the wait times and, you know, and just the changes in the parks overall.
It's so interesting. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube about all the changes they're making to Epcot and in Disney World.
Yeah.
And it's mixed with a lot of different reactions and a lot of different intel and rumors. You can really go down the rabbit hole on those types of things.
Yeah, definitely.
The inside theme parks and all that. It's fascinating. When we return, we're going to be continuing to talk to Marie. We're going to hear about life post-Disney, of course. But first, we're going to be taking a look at some of these Emmy nominations. Interesting stuff. So we're going to take a look at some news that has broken in that arena and what we think of the nominations in a moment.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Marie Garofalo, looking at the Emmys. The nominations are out, and it's a big year for Emmys, specifically if you're a digital company, like a Netflix and Amazon.
Definitely.
The nominations have grown exponentially with these groups. When it even comes to HBO, it's been crazy. However, Network has reclaimed a spot in Best Drama Series, which is a first, which we'll get to. But just to point out the difference and the growth with these companies, these digital companies, Netflix last year had 54 nominations. This year, 92.
Insane. Yeah, that's incredible.
Hulu went from 2 to 18.
Wow.
That's a lot too. And then Amazon maintains the same amount, which is good. I mean, it's not losing.
Great, yeah.
So it's interesting nonetheless. Some of the bigger groups of the top two, most nominations came to SNL and Westworld, two very different shows.
Very different shows, that is true.
Yes. And so they led the nominations. SNL, I know that you are a devout viewer.
Huge fan, been watching religiously for years. I was delighted that they got so many nominations, but also shocked because I feel like people tune in and watch, and I think especially in this past year with like everything in politics, people were extra tuned in. But man, people really criticize that show, that it's not funny anymore, and like, you know, they just kind of rip it apart. But maybe, I don't know, maybe Alec Baldwin brought the people together this year. I'm not really sure. But it was so awesome to like see all of the nominations that it got. I think that's great.
Yeah, I didn't even know that they were eligible to be nominated for certain positions, like Leslie Jones for Best Supporting Actress in Comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. It's a comedic sketch show, so I guess it makes sense. But I don't believe in my time, I don't really follow the Emmys or awards that closely, but I don't recall seeing a character on Saturday Night, or not character, I should say, a comedian or an actor on Saturday Night Live even be nominated in that role. Usually I see the show nominated for either writing or, you know, a special series.
Right. Or but like now, a guest, you know, a star, right.
True exactly. guest star. Yeah. Yeah. That's about as much as I've seen, especially when it comes to the Emmys. But yeah, a couple of things stood out to me. First of all, This Is Us did reclaim that position for a network in a best drama series category, which is great and very well deserved.
Very well deserved. So I remember I was on your show probably about a year ago, and we talked about new shows coming out in the fall. And we were, you know, I was on a panel and we were all like, what's this show with Mandy Moore and Milo Ventimiglia? We were like, I don't know. It like looked like she's having babies. And seriously, it was my favorite show of this past season. I was truly obsessed with it. I related to it. I absolutely loved it. I'm so excited for season two. I really hope it doesn't have a sophomore slump.
I'm worried.
Yeah. Because it just, I was like, this is just the greatest show on television. And if you're not watching, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah.
So I was thrilled. And like, I mean, I just think Christy Metz is incredible. And so I was thrilled for her. And
she's also nominated. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm just so excited. So I really can't say enough wonderful things about it.
Yeah, Chrissy's nominated in a supporting actress category. Very appropriate. Like, she really, I mean, she drives story, but also I would say it's a good category for her to be in, is supporting. I feel like she stands a good chance, and it's appropriate to her character. And I'm very happy for her. Yeah, she's great. She's so real.
Yeah.
She's not tainted at all by stardom, which is so refreshing. And she could be a massive bitch.
Yeah. You know? And she just seems so amazing. And then I love Sterling K. Brown also. Oh, I mean, I loved him in The People versus O.J. Simpson. And then
he was so good.
So good in that. And then, just watching him in This Is Us is also incredible. And I love Milo. Again, I could talk about this for an entire episode.
Right.
So, but it was just very exciting to see all the nominations.
Some jumped out to me. I was really excited to see Feud, Betty versus Joan. Did you watch
that? I did not watch that, but how was it?
Oh, please watch it. Do yourself a favor.
Was it good?
Yeah. I think it was only 8 episodes, but it was wonderful.
Okay.
So tight and well done. And so they were third most nominated collectively.
Wow.
With 18 for that one show, 16 to Big Little Lies, which I enjoyed.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Really
enjoyed that
show. My sister told me to watch it, and I had heard so much about it. I was like, okay, I'm going to find a way to somehow get the show on my television. And I really enjoyed that.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
So, This Is Us got 11 collectively. And perhaps what caught my attention the most was the Scientology and the Aftermath show with Leah Remini, which I talked about on Grant's Rant so much because I just thought it was so well done. Mm-hmm. And I'm fascinated and captivated by Scientology. So the criticism of it,
Of course.
And the uncovering of the details and what really goes on is fascinating. So she was nominated, not her, but the show was up for a nomination for Outstanding Informational Series or Special. And That's great. I'm so happy for her show and for her. And she even was like, it's not about me. It's about all the brave people that came out and shared their stories. And she's prepping for season two. And her goal is to get the IRS and the government involved in an investigation. Wow. And she said that she's been getting an outpouring of letters from people. I mean, this seems like a series that could go on forever.
Yeah.
Of people really willing to put themselves out there. And I mean, she really is the only gig in town when it comes to having a voice to talk about
this. Yeah, she really is.
I mean, where else are you going to go to dish about this?
I'm afraid to say too much else because I don't want any of them coming after me. Yeah. You know what I mean? I definitely have thoughts, but...
we've talked about it a lot.
But
Look, I mean, I've said good things. I've said questionable things.
For now, I'll keep it to myself. I always say
Scientology works for some people, clearly, but there's also a lot that it doesn't, and these are their stories. Yep. So that's it.
That's right.
So, yeah. So what stood out to you? Any specific nominations beyond This Is Us?
I mean, a lot of my favorite Netflix shows got nominated, like House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Great show.
All awesome. I really love all of those. I love Bloodline, which I know just got canceled after the third season. I know it had gotten a couple nominations over the years, but I don't think it was nominated in any major categories as far as I can remember. But yeah, like I was just excited that so many shows that I really, really love got nominated. But then I was surprised like Girls didn't really get nominated and like this was the last season. I know.
That's great. That's great. Lena Dunham doesn't need it. I really don't care for her.
But there were some shows like I was surprised that kind of seemed to get snubbed. But honestly, like there's so many that did get nominated that it was lovely. And I really do love the Emmys because I'm definitely more of a TV person over a movie person.
Totally.
I think my favorite award show overall is the Golden Globes because everyone is drunk and it's kind of –
And it's everything.
A different kind of event. But it seems like in those, because it is the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, that you'll get more nominees like The Crown, right? And these shows that seem to appeal to like a wider international audience.
Yes.
And so what I like about the Emmys is that it's very like tailored
to American
television. Yeah. And it's kind of like I'm familiar, even if I don't actively watch every single show, I'm very familiar with like every single person and every single like overall plot line.
The big shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're from the big shows that usually make it like
exactly
like a Big Little Lies, like This Is Us.
And, exactly. Yeah. So it's only 2 months away. I'm very excited to watch. I think Stephen Colbert is hosting.
Yes.
So I am looking forward to it.
Emmys air on CBS on September 17th.
Yeah.
A snub that I thought was really surprising was Mandy Moore not being
I know. And they were talking about this on the radio because they're like, not only does she play one character, she's really playing two characters in her old age makeup. Sorry, spoiler alert, but you know what? Everyone should be watching already by this point.
Yeah, they don't know why now. They've seen a screen cap.
But yeah, like she is amazing. I think the issue is just that there really is so much good television.
Yeah.
I mean, and it seemed like some of these categories had like 7-8 nominees in one category. So it's like, unless you literally have a category with 20 people nominated, there are going to be people left out, you know?
It's true.
But Mandy is so amazing and beautiful and successful. Like,
I mean, look, even Oprah was left out.
For Henrietta Lacks. Yeah.
So even she was left out of it. Because, it's just a really saturated category.
Can't nominate everybody.
Right?
It's
so true. And with all these series constantly popping up on Netflix, I mean, it's like more than ever is there content to be nominated and to be put up for consideration. I mean, living in LA, we talked about it 2 episodes ago. I mean, all the campaigns and the money that goes in
for your consideration.
I mean, it's everything.
Yeah, it totally is.
It's a lot. I love driving around and seeing all the advertisements for TV. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
How do you compete? I mean, even a big show like The Tonight Show didn't get any nominations or anything major. I mean, you know, so it's just a busy market here.
Yes, that is true.
So let's catch up with you, Marie.
Sure.
Last time you were here, we've talked a lot about your experience and working over how we met over at the Disney company.
Yes.
You worked in consumer products for a while.
That's right. Yep.
And, you know, like many folks, you know, it's like you want to move on and you want to, you know, flex your muscle and take on more responsibility. And it was that time for you.
It was. Yeah. You know, I had been there for just about 7 years. And that's right. We met. Gosh, I had only been with the company like 2 months when we met at one of those mixers, which was very fun. But yeah, you know, I kind of felt like ready for the next adventure and was kind of excited to see, you know, expand my horizons.
Of course.
Yeah, so I, you know, looked to kind of see what was out there in the communications field. And yeah, ended up at my new job at the corporate office of the Cheesecake Factory, which is very exciting.
So what do you do for them?
Yeah, so I've been there a little over a month already. And so I'm working on their organizational engagement team, which is kind of like an HR comms combined group. And it's wonderful. I basically get to work a lot with lots of people in the corporate office, putting together different meetings and smaller scale events, and working with people, staff members in the restaurant. So there's like a website that, you know, servers and different people in the restaurant can log into to see like, oh, here's pictures from, you know, a Cheesecake Factory location, in this city, and look at like the cool give back volunteerism that they were doing.
Okay,
or, you know, look at this fun. They all decided to just do a fun like dance video just to kind of celebrate something. And so people can really connect and see, because there's about 200 restaurant locations. And so it kind of connects everybody, which is great. We have a Facebook page called Life at Cheesecake that is public. So anybody can go on and like it, and you can see what different restaurant locations are doing. Yeah. And it's really fun. It's a great group, and I'm learning a lot about the restaurant industry. That is for sure.
Yeah. So, totally different from where you came.
Totally different. Yeah. Just a different type of environment. And it's a smaller team too, which, you know, has definitely been an adjustment because, you know, Disney is so large. And so, yeah, it's just been kind of getting adjusted to the smaller atmosphere. But yeah, I've really been enjoying it.
So it seems like a combination of internal and public communication. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I'm not doing like external comms, like PR, like public relations. But I'm when I post on, say, the Facebook page, yes, like anyone can view that. Anyone can go on the page and like get Life at Cheesecake. But, you know, then they do have a team that handles like actual PR and marketing and things like that. So.
What was the process like of getting a position like this and really making that transition, a career transition?
Yeah, sure. So I, you know, had talked to lots of people I knew on the phone. I mean, the networking is so important. And I reconnected with, you know, people I knew who used to work at Disney, alumni at the college that I went to. Really just connecting with people and finding out, you know, if they had gotten new jobs, what was their process? How did they do it? Because as we all know, you can apply for jobs and they could go into like a black hole.
Yeah,
and so it's really hard. Yeah. So it's really hard to kind of get in front of the right people. And funny enough, I had heard from a couple people that the Cheesecake Factory was on Forbes 100 Best Places to Work list for like the last 4 years in a row. And I signed up for their job alerts. And funny enough, like all the networking and all the connecting I had done, I applied for this job cold, didn't know anyone, just submitted my resume, filled out the application. And 2 days later, someone in their HR team got back to me.
That's good. That means they're really looking.
They're actually looking. Yeah. And I think maybe that may be a benefit of a smaller group and a smaller team, you know, that they would have the resources to do that. But yeah. And so then I went through the process and,
You know, this is very rare to hear, especially in entertainment or even in LA. If, you know, you apply for a job, you get an interview. You get the job.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, I talked to, you know, if I connected with say like a college alum that I knew, they would say like, oh, I have a friend at such and such company in HR. I'll connect the two of you. And maybe I would see a job that I would feel like, okay, this could be a really good fit. I would talk to HR. Maybe I'd get through to talk to like a hiring manager or something, but then it would seem like the job would get put on hold, or it would go to an internal candidate, who's already in the company. So I was never able to kind of get to that next step.
Yeah.
And so that was definitely, you know, frustrating. And it was like a lot of soul searching in the process. Right. And it definitely wasn't a decision I took lightly. And it still feels very surreal. I mean, even like a little over a month in, but I passed like my old exit where I used to get off to go to work on my way to my new job. And it still feels very like, oh my gosh, I don't get off on the freeway here anymore. Like I don't work here anymore. It's a weird feeling. So,
right.
But I would just say to anyone who is actively looking and going through the process, just stay positive and optimistic. Cause when I was leaving, I did have people tell me like, I had no idea you were even looking, or, you know, and it's really because I didn't want to make it, known and obvious. Like it was very important to me to still get my job done every day and do good work and maintain good relationships. And you know, you never want to burn bridges or anything,
right.
But really just keep your head up, because, you know, really the main reason I signed up for those job alerts with the Cheesecake Factory was just because within like a week, multiple people said, oh, what about the Cheesecake Factory? What about the Cheesecake Factory? And I was like, oh, it seems almost serendipitous. Like, what are the odds that, multiple people would mention it within like a week? Mm-hmm. So sometimes you're not expecting it. You don't even know. And I had signed up for those alerts like a good 6 months before I had seen that particular job pop up. Mm-hmm. Right. So just keep at it. Just keep looking. Yeah. And then you never know. And it could just literally, you know, kind of fall into your lap.
Yeah.
And so that was always the advice that was given to me. And, you know, when you're kind of in that moment, it's hard to listen to because you're just like frustrated. But ultimately, like, it wasn't a snap decision. It wasn't just something I did on impulse. And,
right. You
know, I knew that I was making the right decision for my career. And that was something that was very important to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, congrats, because it's all behind you and it's
done. Thank you.
And you're happy and you're there.
Yeah.
It's quite a process to make a transition and to look for work. And I'm, you know, coming up on an anniversary where I currently work as an assistant, and it's time to start to do a little research.
Yeah.
To see what's next and following money. And what city do I want to be in and all of that.
Yep.
So I'm beginning that process, and I can't say I'm too thrilled. I'm not applying for anything, but I'm just like, it's a movement.
Yeah.
It's like a movement in life to make a transition now to better yourself.
Yeah. And for anybody listening, I definitely have more advice to share and more learnings that I might not necessarily want to say here on the podcast. But again, at the end, when I give my contact information, anyone who wants to reach out to me, I'm more than happy to talk about it, because I don't want to say I'm an expert in the field, but like I do feel like I know what I'm talking about. So I'm happy to talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you ever think growing up it would be such a pain in the ass? I'll say to like make a transition in life. Like, it seems like you could just like go for things and make things better for yourself and get a good job. But I feel like our generation is just like, it's a struggle.
Things are different now. And I think like, I mean, how amazing and blessed I've been to like say that I worked at a company like Disney, you know, for 7 years. So early in my career is phenomenal. But I do feel like in talking with people of different generations, like it was a little bit more like so-and-so left the company and then wanted me to come with them. And like, it was more of just like, hey, why don't you come here with me? And I don't know. It was just like the process was so different. I think nowadays, right? Like, someone posts a job on LinkedIn and within like 3 hours, 1,000 people have applied to that job. How do you make yourself stand out? How do you get to the top of the pile? It's so different. It's so hard. And also like, I mean, the economy is definitely, you know, better than say it was in 2008 or whatever, but it is still really hard. It is really hard. And like, I definitely saw a lot of changes in organizational structure. I'll put it like that. Keep it professional. But lots of changes and just really hard to, you know, kind of get to the next level, get to a certain point. And I think just in this day and age, it is so much harder.
Yeah. I mean, the business is changing too. Every 10 years, it's a completely different place.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, organizational changes are just a fact of these businesses. And sometimes they're positive and sometimes they make teams small and people leave. And it makes you think, you know, I just want to follow the money at this point in my career.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's definitely part of it.
Yes. I totally get you on that. So let's talk about a few other things.
Sure.
I know that you like to travel a lot with your boyfriend.
I do. Yes.
What have you been up to? Where have you been?
Okay. Let's see. Well, since the last time I was on the show, I'm trying to think. I went to New Orleans.
Nice.
Which was great. I went to Japan.
Wow.
Which was so cool. Yeah. My boyfriend, his parents are from Japan and he was born here, but he speaks fluent Japanese. And so he hadn't been back since he was two.
Oh, wow.
So we decided to go. So that was incredible. Really, really cool experience. I went to Chicago, visited my brother, and we saw Hamilton.
That's
which
great.
Was awesome. Yeah. And my sister lives in Portland, Oregon. So I visited her for one weekend. And then I was just in Florida, visiting my dad and my stepmom. So
that's great.
Yeah. So, and you know, my brother was there also with his girlfriend. And, you know, my family really is all over the country. Oh, and last fall, I also did make a trip to New Jersey. So I saw my mom and my stepdad, my grandma and everyone. Mm. So, you know, I'm always trying to make sure I visit everybody, see all the family. But a lot of my trips are pretty quick, you know, kind of long weekends because, of course, I want to make it work. I want to see everybody. But I also have to be conscious of, like, vacation days at work and you know how much time I can actually take. So
You've always been very strategic in how you take time off and how many days you can use. And
like a couple of years ago, my boyfriend and I got invited to a wedding and the weekend before was like my sister's college graduation. So we just did it all planned out, like literally flew to the East Coast for her graduation, flew to the wedding, like very, very strategically planned out. So it wasn't like back and forth and back and forth, you know? So,
yeah,
but yes, I love traveling and it's a great thing. And I keep seeing these quotes. It's like, you know, life's not meant to be lived in one place. And I just think that's really important. I want to see as much as I can and explore and everything. So, but I'm all about the flight deals. So never paying more than like a certain price for flights. And that's part of how Japan worked out. Are you familiar with the Hopper app?
Yes, I have that app.
So I love it because it'll like send you alerts, like basically saying like, Marie, you should book your flight in the next week before prices go up. And so we were looking at flights to Japan and I talked to someone I used to work with who had lived there for a few years. And I said, what would you consider to be a good price to go to Japan, like round trip? And he said, oh, if you can find anything under $1,000, that would be considered a great deal. And I was seeing deals for $499.
Wow.
Which is like what it could cost to go to the East Coast on like a typical trip.
That is the cost to go home for Christmas. Yeah.
So we paid just a little bit more than that, but we're able to go all the way to the other side of the world
for
8 days. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's my big thing. You know, I think there's like a misconception like, oh, if you're traveling a lot, you must have a ton of money. I can tell you that we travel and we stay in tiny little hotels and we are very conscious about food and where we spend our money. And, you know, you don't have to come back with like a suitcase full of souvenirs. Like it's okay to just pick up a couple things, you know? So we just try to be very conscious, but go and see as much as we can.
That's wonderful. It's very inspiring to me. Someone who loves to travel, but on a bare budget.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I feel like I'm getting too old to crash on people's couches now. So it's becoming like, but I want to do this. I want to see everything.
Yeah. If you want to do it, you make it work. You know, that is for sure. Like, I know other people who've traveled, you know, internationally or whatever, and they talk about and they stay at like the finest chain hotels in those cities. Like, I just do lots of Expedia reviewing and TripAdvisor and everything.
Me too. I love Expedia. I always book everything on Expedia.
Yeah. A lot of these like boutique hotels, you know, are very reasonably priced. And honestly, if you're spending a lot of time in the hotel and you're in a new city, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You should be out exploring and you should be using the hotel to shower and sleep.
Totally.
And that's it. Yeah.
I know you're also on a mission to see all 50 states.
I am.
How's
that? It's been going well. I'm at 37. So, yeah, nice. I thought I was at 38 for a little bit, but then I went back and counted my map and I was like, no, I think I still have 13 states to go. Mm-hmm. So, I'm at 37 right now. And yeah, I have a lot of the Midwest to do. So I definitely need to just plan like a road trip and see like Mount Rushmore and just kind of explore the whole Midwest. And then I need to get to Alaska.
Yeah.
Of course, which I'm really excited about.
I love that goal. I think that's such a great goal and it gets you to see so many different things and you can really say you've experienced America, the good and the bad.
Yeah, and it's a great conversation starter too because, you know, everyone knows someone from, this state or that state. And it's like, oh, you have to get here. Or this is what you should see when you go here. And so, yeah, so it's a lot of fun. It's a good goal.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, this was a great conversation. I mean, we talked about a lot.
We did.
You guys can find some bonus content on our YouTube channel from this episode and also on Patreon. So please support us if you'd like over on Patreon. It's super duper cheap and easy. And that'll do it for us. Marie, thank you for coming in and
chatting. Thank you so much.
I love catching up with you.
Oh, me too. Always a delight.
Obviously, we'll have Marie back, most likely for a panel. But it's been a while that we've had a one-on-one. I think 2 years, to be honest.
It's
been a good catch-up period.
It has been.
And you'll have to keep up with us continuously. You can like us on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and all that good stuff. Where can we find you?
So you can find me. I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn. I know I'm a little old school. Don't really do all of the social media stuff, but just search Marie Garofalo, G-A-R-O, F as in Frank, A-L-O.
And you can find that information in this episode's information below. And that'll do it for us. We'll be back with more rants to come.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.